Man, we gotta get this economy going. I just saw a Rolls Royce in the drive-thru of a Burger King. Live from the center of the universe in Studio C, warm beer in the cheap seats with Big Mike and Casey. Big Mike, take it away.
What's happening out there in podcast land? It's Friday night. We're podcasting, drinking some beer. And what were they getting in that Rolls?
Probably the 2 for $5.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yep. Well, you gotta.
Hey, the Rolls.
You gotta keep up that payment on the Rolls.
I was gonna say the Rolls payments due, so you know it's like
gotta cut corners.
You gotta cut corners. So the 2 for $5, and you're good to go. Who needs a prize anyway?
Which is the Burger King at Barris was just drive by.
Are you serious? Straight up.
Listen.
That's right, folks. That's right down the road from Studio C.
Unless Burger King needed Grey Poupon, and they waved over the Rolls Royce driver because everyone knows that's where you keep a secondary jar of Grey Poupon is in the back.
In the little serving tray on the back of the seat, you have your Grey Poupon. I don't know of any Burger King sandwich or product that uses Grey Poupon, so I guess they went there voluntarily to the old Burger King.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, but you know, I mean, it's a weird week. We got the Super Bowl here in town. Not the full circus, but you know, they got a limited engagement of the Super Bowl experience. You know, they did a virtual media day. They are going to allow 22,000 fans in for the Super Bowl,
which I think is pretty good.
Well, it's definitely a test. This is going to be how we do with a crowd this size.
I think the city and the NFL has done a great job with the fan experience and all the attractions that encompass the Super Bowl.
Well, they could spread it around. The city's infrastructure gets better and better. They had stuff that was downtown, down by the Riverwalk, down by the stadium. You know, you could go see the Vince Lombardi trophy, which is a Super Bowl championship trophy, and take pictures with it. They set up the Gasparilla ship in lieu of no Gasparilla this year, but they have the ship out there. So they've been doing fireworks at the 55th minute of the hours 6, 7, and 8, I believe, or it was like 7, 8, and 9.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And 55 because it's a 55th
Super Bowl. Yep. Good tie-in. Hey, they got the numbers working.
Yeah, so, you know, they had the week off, and here we are, the nitty-gritty. So see if Big Tom delivers. Will be Tampa Bay or will be Chumpa Bay? One of the two.
Hopefully the former rather than the latter.
Yes. Yeah.
It's exciting, though.
Well, you know, the Chiefs, they're defending champs. So if you want to beat the best,
this is the challenge.
Just like the Nature Boy Ric Flair would say, if you want to beat the best, oh shit. Actually, you'd say if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Woo. Yes.
Only Ric Flair can say it.
Only Ric Flair.
Who's looking really old.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, but I mean, he's kind of up there.
Yeah. Fact that he's still able to come and do his hijinks on the wrestling shows.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's still out there.
Still working.
Yeah, so we'll have to follow up with James later on down the road.
Okay, well, we on the pre-show, we had a little bit of this. What's this transgender wrestler guy? Girl now?
But it wasn't a wrestler I was familiar with.
Neither was I. I thought it was a joke when I saw it on the internet today.
Yeah, I had a double take, so we're gonna have to reach out to James at some point. But you know, when he went his top three wrestlers he thought could win the Royal Rumble,
they call Edge, didn't he?
He said Edge would be one of the guys. I think he was leaning more Daniel Bryan, but he said Edge could be a guy. And then actually, I think I was the one that said Bianca Belair.
You did say that. In fact, you did.
Yeah. But that was on his list. We'll have to talk about that.
Get the recap.
That's right. And got an update on the jukebox.
Oh, please tell us. So what was it? Refresh my memory.
All right. So what song did you decide?
Well, we were going to decide to do a Mr. Bungle song.
Yes.
So I drove back Saturday by on my way home, and I got a message. And let me pull up, because I had to take a picture, and it said, "This jukebox is currently not available on the app. Try playing music directly from the jukebox and notify the venue staff." No, I'm not going inside. Like, hey, I've been bombing you guys for a couple weeks now, so can you turn that back on?
Yeah.
So it's basically what they're saying, it's not connected to the internet. So that could be two reasons. That, like, a power outage, they didn't reset something, whatever. Or
you
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen. Safety dance is psychological warfare, and I'm sure it's using psyops by CIA all over the world. However, I was not going to be, you know, deterred. So
what did you do?
I'm the unsinkable Molly Brown. So me being Molly, I checked on Monday, no go. Tuesday, the app was available.
Oh.
So
they may have thought that.
Either that or, like I said, maybe it was like a power outage. Mm-hmm. It went offline.
Right.
Because that can happen or whatever.
I like to think that you got to him.
I think I got to him. And then I couldn't – Mr. Bungle was not available, and I kind of panicked. But I was like, you know, I'm going to go real meta on this one. And, you know, something a little bit more ironic and or moronic, ironic. And I decided to play the Doobie Brothers, Listen to the Music.
That's a great song.
It's a great song, but, I mean, you're sitting there. What else are you going to do other than listen to the music?
How ironic.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
so
awesome.
You know, so every night then, since henceforth, they've been doing nothing but listening to the music. Because I forgot the other songs we were talking about, so we'll have to think. I think Beastie Boys was a song.
Are there any songs about, like, breakfast or waffles or...
You know, actually, Pink Floyd has a diner song.
That would be great!
I believe it's, like, the finishing song on Adam Motherheart, and we would have to refer to Big Ed. He's real good at this. But I believe it's the final closing track on Adam Motherheart, and I think it's called, like, Adam's Diner. And you hear, like, general conversation, egg sizzling. It's really weird.
Wow, that would be a good one.
Yeah.
It would be like...
And Pink Floyd at the same time would say, like, no one in this band ever did LSD. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, of course not. Not with a track like that.
No.
They were sipping tea and having biscuits.
Right.
So, in fact, aren't we going to have Big Ed on tonight? Isn't he... our special super guest?
He is. He's there somewhere.
I think he's in his remote studio. So
would that be Studio E for Ed?
Yeah, Big Ed's in.
Hey, Big Ed!
Hey. Hey, you jabrons. What are you doing?
Hey, Big Ed, how are you?
Hey, good. Hey, actually, it's called Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast on Adam Hart Mother. It's like a 13-minute montage of eggs frying and on the grill.
You know what? That should be a good song to play there. You see, like, a week later.
It'll definitely confuse the listener because it's probably the first 3 minutes is just hear, like, some background talk and eggs fried and, like, a cast iron skillet. And then it goes into little keyboards and rolls into the music after about 4 or 5 minutes.
The short order cook's confused, like, I haven't even started the order.
Why do I hear things
frying? Is that smothered, tattered, or fried? I can't tell. Is that an over easy ball?
Oh, gosh.
So
what's with this transgender wrestler? What category is this person going to wrestle in?
Well, good question.
Well, he could just wrestle as a diva or not. He can hold both belts, I guess.
So it gets his ass kicked by a guy or kicks the shit out of a girl.
Yep.
Wow, that would be interesting.
I think that's what it had. Guy's going to beat the shit out of him for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Wouldn't be good.
Well, here it is. I got it pulled up here on the interwebs. WWE star Gabby Tuck came out as trans, and her message is so important. Oh.
I don't remember this wrestler, but they say even he's. I wonder what. Oh, Gabby must be the name now.
I guess so. I guess that's his, her name. Wow. There's like a whole big long tweet. Oh, my. That's an ugly looking woman.
Hmm.
Big Ed, what do you think about all that?
It'd just be best if I said nothing.
There you go. Yeah, life's tough enough.
Well, here's how.
It's tough enough. Why ruin it for the rest of us?
The ball dropped.
Tough enough. I don't need to hear about this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not a political show.
No.
No.
It's about drinking beers and titties, okay? No, I guess it's not about that either, but it could be.
It's a family show, Big Ed. Family show.
It could be guy titties.
Yeah. I remember at Talladega, we were driving out there from Atlanta, and as you get closer to the track, the signs on cars get a little more racy, and someone had pulled out a banner that said, show your titties, and there are no girls in our car. You know, it's just a bunch of guys going to the track. So I pull up my shirt and I grab my nipple, I give it a squeeze, and the guys just sped away. So that's how you stop that. That's how you solve that problem. I think that was the same time when the trooper pointed to the exit at me after I shut off the first round of the bottle rockets after the race. I think he had enough confusion that day. He did not need any rockets.
He didn't need any more?
He just looked right at me and pointed to the exit. He didn't say nothing. He said it all with one motion.
One motion. Get the hell out.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you probably don't want to get locked up in Talladega, Alabama.
I would say no. I'll pass.
Yeah, that was a hard pass.
Yeah.
And that's also where I learned that you don't ever park by turn four.
Why wouldn't you park by turn four?
You've been to Talladega, Big Mike?
Yeah, three times.
Well, the reason why people don't park so close to the track is because of all the rubber that comes off the track and onto your car.
Makes sense. Okay.
So I had my own like corrosion protection on the Cadillac, the silver one.
Courtesy of Goodyear.
Courtesy of 42 cars doing 205 around that corner. I couldn't believe it. I put on my wipers and it just smeared it. It was just like, it was almost grease at that point, not rubber, because it had been broke down, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's
an awesome souvenir.
Yeah, I never had any rust on that caddy.
Hey, it was a special coat.
Courtesy of Talladega.
Courtesy of Dega. So, Big Ed. I guess we got a new. I think we got a segment tonight, huh?
Excuse me. Yes.
So I think we came up with a name that's going to be a. We think of calling this Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospect.
Nice. Well, this particular album is a retrospect, a look back on one of the greatest albums of all time, and this one grew on me.
Well, here's what I was telling Casey, Big Ed. All the Led Zeppelin I've ever listened to has been off of like greatest hits albums, so I never took the time to listen through any of their full albums. I enjoyed this. This is a pretty badass album.
To start out, it's their third studio album. And now you got a picture, it's 1970. They've been on the road for about 2 years.
Yeah, straight, right?
Yep.
So they wrote Zeppelin 1.
on the road. They wrote Zeppelin II on the road. They recorded Zeppelin II on the road at various recording studios throughout the North America. So I believe they started, like in 69, decided to start writing for Zeppelin III, and they recorded it in Welsh, like somewhere like, it's actually recorded at Bron Uair, which is a cottage in Wales. And it had a very, which gave it that very acoustic feel that you see on some of the tracks. You know, they went from heavy blues to some hard rock down to, you know, then they brought it back to like That's the Way, which was a very mellow, actually it was a political song. It was about the landscape of the United States at the time. With, you know, don't let your hair grow down, you know, don't go play with the boy next door. It was about people going to Vietnam or coming back, you know, and the long hair, the hippies and all that stuff. So a little ahead of its time. People don't realize they were, you know, their political stuff was a lot of undertones of politicism. So the original music was written by the band, as opposed to Page and Plant. So all four members actually wrote with together. They collaborated. And actually, John Bonham wrote his first song, Out on the Tiles.
Great song.
Great song. And actually, if you listen, you can hear, this is what I love about Zeppelin and Floyd, the music recorded in this era, this analog stuff. There's no way to clean up your mistakes or hide, you know, you could hear bass drum squeaking. You can hear Julia Page going, helping the timing on Out on the Tiles. You can hear him going in the background, going, stop, you know, for John Bonham to stop right before he hits a snare. It's really cool. So this is definitely headphone music. And this is what music was about when I grew up. You know, it was LP. Their albums were called LPs. They were long play. The radio stations, they were FM was originally a long play where it was album orientated rock. And this is where Zeppelin really took off. So let's see, let me take a peek at this. So yeah, so you have John Bonham drums, Jimmy Page on guitar, also played a pedal steel guitar, slide guitar.
And Tangerine. That was my favorite song off the album by far, because it kind of had
kind of tinge to it.
It gives you
a little bit of everything. It kind of showcases everybody real quick, you know, a little bit of what everyone could do. Because you have John Paul Jones actually did all the arrangement and played all the strings. They never outsourced their music. They did everything themselves. He did synthesizers, mandolin, double bass, foot bass. With the keyboards, he played a pedal bass. You had two engineers. You had Andy John and Terry Manning. Andy John was, I believe, a high school or a college friend of Jimmy Page's. But he also worked with Humble Pie, Free, Gary Wright, and the Stones. This is all up in 1970. Now, Andy John wound up working with Sammy Hagar, Van Halen, ZZ Top, Cinderella. I mean, went on and played with a myriad of top acts, you know, after Zeppelin. Yeah, yeah. And then you also had Terry Manning, who was a photographer by trade, who also worked with, who photographed Chuck Berry, Procol Harum, Steppenwolf, Terry Reid, and Jimi Hendrix. And Jimmy Page knew of him because he had his own band, and the name of the band escapes me, but he supported him during the Yardbirds tour. I think he met him like in Louisiana somewhere. But he also did other work with other musicians as well. So the band, Zeppelin III, kind of marked a change from the music from the late 60s hard rock to a psychedelic folk acoustic sound. You know, sounds that you heard from Zeppelin II, like Ramble On or Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You from Zeppelin I. They took those styles and transformed into what you hear now for like the first song. What a way to open a track with the Immigrant Song.
Which is
the Vikings invading England, you know. It's just powerhouse. It's just everybody's showcase. Broader Plant, booming vocals.
Right.
John Paul Jones is bass, his rifle's consistent, keeping him in the pocket with John Bonham. And of course, Jimmy Page. You know, you can never say enough about that guy. Then track two, Friends, The Last Stab at Psychedelia with some Hobbit references. Strings, The strings and the arrangements done by John Paul Jones. Celebration Day, one of my favorite. The title is somewhat misleading. It's actually about trying to escape from troubled times in a corrupt society, really. If you,
which I got to start on that one, too.
Excellent. It goes from Moog synthesizer into Jimmy Page's opening riffs. John Paul Jones and John Bonham, again, keeping them in the pocket. Just something, you know what they do? They may lay in a great foundation for them to, for Jimmy Page and Robert Plant to dance on. Since I've Been Loving You, that's the one, that's the blues song, though, with the squeaky bass drum. You could hear that, and it's so cool because the squeak is in rhythm with the bass hitting the drum.
See, you know, I think this is where Led Zeppelin's got something for everyone, because I know Big Mike's going to disagree with me on this one, and I'm fine with that. This is my favorite song on the album. I just like their homage to old blues, and yeah. I think as far as old blues, they nail it.
I have in my notes here, not a fan of that song. And I'm not a big blues guy, and I think that's what it is. But yeah, very bluesy. If you're a blues fan, that is song for you.
Yeah.
So
Led Zeppelin, they were all big fans of blues.
Absolutely, you know? You hear it in the music, big time. All through all these tracks on this album.
Absolutely.
The blues really shines through.
And what's great is the guitar solo is a one take. Jimmy Page was a one take kind of guy. This is a recorded live. He does the solo in one take. And then, of course, the keyboards, John Paul Jones on keyboards and pedal bass. Incredible. And then Out on the Tiles, another one of my probably, I don't know, I could say every one of these are my favorite, but I just love this song because the song's about John, first of all, because John Bonham wrote it. I love that. And it's about him drinking at the bars. It shows Robert Plant's range. Another one take by Jimmy Page. And you can hear Page in the background keeping count with John Bonham. You got to get yourself that set of headphones. Gallows Paul. This is actually a traditional arrangement. It was a poem. Some Frank guy. I don't know the whole story on him, but the song's about a brother's gonna hang. So each brother comes to the gallows pole. Can you bring me some silver? Did you bring me some gold? And they didn't. So what happens? Would you bring me my sister to the gallows pole? She brought herself, and he puts a smile on the hangman's face. So the guy lives.
Yep.
Tangerine. Who did you say that was your favorite, Big Mike?
Favorite on the album.
Oh, yeah, another Lord of the Rings reference. Pedal steel guitar by Page, and a great solo.
I was really digging this song in the album. I played it back a couple times, and like, all right, I like this. I like it. It's going to go in my repertoire. In fact, I'm going to go buy this album, a vinyl. Got to get some vinyl. And this will
that's where you really appreciate it on vinyl. And then there, I could go through each other. Bronyard Stomp is actually about is the name of the cottage they stayed at, but it's about Robert Plant's dog. His dog's name was Strider, and it's Strider was the dog of Aragorn from Lord of the Rings. If any of you guys ever read the book.
Correct.
It was written during Zeppelin's occupation in a secluded cottage in Wales. They loved Wales. They did a lot of stuff there. And then finish off with Hats Off to Roy Harper.
Who is Roy Harper again?
He was a contemporary folk singer that recorded from the 30s to the 70s. Okay. And it was just one of their heroes. You know, another blues guy.
Because they kind of ended Zeppelin 2. Correct me if I'm wrong. Zeppelin 2, the last song, I think it was like Bring It On Home, was like an homage to like an old American blues guy too.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I have to do a little homework on that. So according to Page, during the session with Zeppelin 3, the band did a whole set of country blues and a traditional blues numbers that Plant suggested, but Hats Off to Roy Harper was the only one that made the album. There are a lot of outtakes on this. Some of it you'll see on Coda, some is on the BBC sessions, and then the other stuff's on bootlegs that they played live. So you have to really dig. They're out there. There's a lot of stuff out there that a lot of bootleg Zeppelin. There was a lot more material than ever made the 9 studio albums.
So Big Ed, this album on if we had a of our stars, let's call it 5 stars. Where would this land on Big Ed's rock and roll retrospect as far as starage?
You know, if when I first bought it, I would have gave it a 3, maybe a 2.5.
Why is that?
So because I was a kid and I just wanted to hear metal.
All right, that makes
and
sense.
It's not a metal album. It's not a hard rock. But now, as an adult, actually in my 20s, I realized someone turned me back onto it. This guy, Dougie. We used to call him Dougie Fresh. He was a big, he loved Tangerine and Hats Off. That's the way. This is a 4, 4.5 to me. This has it all. And actually, I pulled up the Rolling Stone by Lester Banks,
He reviewed it.
Yeah, you know, and this is 1970, and Lester Banks was a stuck-up. This is when Rolling Stone was regarded as like the holy grail of music, whether it be for its news articles or the music itself. He said, this album deviates very little from the first two, even though they go acoustic. Most of the acoustic sounds like standard Zep graded down decibel wise. It's not very good. The Immigrant Song comes closest with Bulldozer rhythms and Bobby Plant's double tracked, wordless vocal crooning banging on his chest, I wish he would revisit this now. He'd be like, hit the next paragraph of me. I Am a Dick by Lester Bangs.
Or
if Lester Bangs was an ice cream flavor, he'd be Pralines and Dick.
Pralines and Dick, huh?
Wayne's World. That's like one of the best lines in the whole movie. He goes, if such and such was an ice cream, what was his name? If Benjamin was an ice cream flavor, he'd be Pralines and Dick.
Pretty good one.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I would give it.
So that's it. It's a work in progress, but I think you guys get the gist on Zeppelin 3, right?
Yeah,
anyone out there in podcast land think so or not think so?
Yeah, give us your input out there in podcast land.
Yeah, and you can email us at the show at warmbeerandthecheapseats.com. If there's an album that you would like to hear Big Ed do a retrospect on, we'd like to hear your input. You can also find us on Twitter at Cheapseats, and then you can tweet us there because we follow the terms and conditions.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's how we are. We follow rules. But yes, Big Ed, I agree. I'd give this album a solid 4-star.
It's definitely a 4.
This is one you can
put. I sent the link out to you. I hope you guys were able to listen to it.
Absolutely. This is one you can put on the turntable and let it play all the way through, and it would be an enjoyable listen. It's not one of those albums.
That's how you're supposed to listen to it.
Well, you know,
because somebody's songs transition into another song, and you need that.
There's a flow. Where there's albums you listen to and it's so disjointed. I can't reference any right off the top of my head, but I've listened to some albums where it's like, okay, good song, mediocre song, bad song. Oh, another good song. Where this album's not that way. The album flows nicely.
Great flow.
So there you have it, gang. This is the first installment of Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospect. And as Casey mentioned, if there's any albums that you'd like Big Ed to review, send your suggestions to us. We'll definitely pass them on to Big Ed.
However, I'm curious as to what Big Ed's thoughts about doing in the future, because I liked it so far. So I definitely want to hear more.
What I, you know what? I was thinking of jumping up to the 90s and doing something maybe by Crows or Alice in Chains, you know, bring, you know, a little closer to what,
okay,
what today is, you know.
Because I, you know, I definitely have an
album. I like to do stuff that's helpful.
I have some albums too that.
Yeah, well, I definitely have a very specific album I'd like you to review at one point, but I'd like you to do a couple. But I have one that, to me, is fantastic. But I would actually like to get your take on it. And older people from your generation that have, say, similar music tastes are surprised that they even like this music. So I would actually like to see your input on that. But I'm going to keep that a secret for now.
Yeah, and I got a couple albums too.
Is it something in my collection?
No. Absolutely not. But, you know, sometimes you kind of stumble into things sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to throw a couple albums your way too, because like you, I enjoy music. Casey enjoys music. So yeah, I think this would be an awesome segment. And again, bands out there, listen to us, all one of yous, maybe two of yous. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. Give us a thumbs up. Like, share.
Like, share. Put subscribe. A heart. I don't know. Yeah, subscribe. Go to our Twitter. Tweet us. Send us a tweet. A facey tweet.
Oh, you know what? Oh, you know, we just kind of went over. And again, good job, Big Ed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Big Ed.
You know, we were talking about the Super Bowl, and the one thing that they've done the last few years that really chafes my willy is that they're showing you all the advertisements for the Super Bowl before the Super Bowl. And I used to like not knowing, because you'd get a surprise during the night, like a funny advertisement.
I agree.
A cameo you weren't expecting. You're like, oh, that's Betty White eating the Snickers. Whoa, what? Give me some more beer. You know, it's crazy. But, you know, now I don't. I'm not into it. I just,
no, you can watch all the ads before the game, and I agree. I like the anticipation of what
it's
is
like
the next
playing
ad.
The game before they play the game.
Absolutely.
It's because it's technology. People can't keep their fucking yap shut. It's so easy to fucking just forward a link to some idiot, and he's leaking it out all over the internet.
Gosh,
and let me ask you a question: why do you have your willy out? Shouldn't you have that tucked away?
Well, it's chafed now.
Oh, okay. A chafed willy.
Yes. And no one likes a chafed willy.
No. I know I don't.
No, not so much.
No.
Oh, chafed.
Chafed. Had to put some working hands on it.
Whoa, jeez.
Dip it in the bucket of lard.
So, but no, I with a Super Bowl ad, yeah, it's like all the fun's gone. Like you're like, oh, I already saw this ad. Yeah. That was kind of funny.
I like to watch an ad and it's like, who's the ad? Jesus, I came up with that one.
So, and then we were talking about before the show. What was that?
You're going to work on the timing a little. Oh. That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it would be all right. Memorable Super Bowl ads.
Well, you know, I always remember as a kid, they always said it was important, like that first Apple ad and the guy runs in the crowd with the sledgehammer and he throws it to the big screen.
I didn't think that was all that impressive.
I didn't, but they was like, oh, that's...
Isn't that always like number one on the Super Bowl ad?
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's so avant-garde and, you know, Steve Jobs, he smelled his farts and it was delicious. You know, I'm like, all right, if you say so.
Yeah, I'm unimpressed.
Yeah.
By the ad and Steve Jobs part.
You know what? Budweiser always did good with Clyde. You know, give me
the Clydesdales.
Listen, when the Clydesdales line up and kick the field goal, and the guy's like,
awesome.
That's weird. Do they always do that? He's like, no, they usually go for it, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
You know,
yeah, they had like the Bud Bowl and stuff.
The Bud Bowl. Yeah, and then Bud Light.
Because they had multiple segments like with that commercial. There was like three.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was pretty. That was pretty ingenious. That was a good ad.
Yeah, they introduced Bud Dry.
Yes.
Remember that? Yeah, what happened to dry beers? Did they evaporate?
They did. They're powdered.
That's a
powdered beer.
That's a cold case. There's a cold case out there. It's whatever happened to the dry beers.
You know what? Dry beers had less calories and more alcohol. I think that scared everybody.
Is that what it was? What is a dry beer?
I think it had to do with the brewing process.
I don't know. It was delicious.
If you like powder.
It wasn't like that dry, Big Mike.
Oh, okay. Am I taking it too literally?
It wasn't reconstituted or anything like that.
Like powdered milk.
Oh, gosh.
It's powdered beer. You have to add the water to it. And there you go. So Super Bowl ads.
Yeah, they're usually, a couple out there.
I can't recall any that's like, wow, I here it is 10 years, 15, 20 years later, the ad still.
Well, I mean, usually, how about Larry Bird and Michael Jordan for McDonald's? They're doing a game of horse on who's buying the Big Mac, and they just like, all right, over the hoop and this and that, and then like shooting the ball out of the arena, and they're like nothing but net. No?
I don't remember that one. Vaguely.
It's a lot of drinking during Super Bowl, so I don't remember the commercials.
Well, there is usually a lot of that. I mean, I guess one of the real famous ones, really kind of before my time a little bit, is the Mean Joe Green throwing his jersey to the kids for the Coke.
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, Coke usually had pretty big ads.
Who did the spoof on that? And they threw like a jock strap at the kid. Who did that?
Family Guy.
Was it?
Yeah.
Somebody did. I thought maybe it's an SNL skit, like one of the fake commercials they did, you know?
Yeah, nothing like a jock strap.
Oh, you know what? E-Trade, they did the talking baby. That was pretty good. That was probably 12, 13 years ago. And it was pretty good. Now, I mean, Coke would always have the better ads. Pepsi would try to. Pepsi always spent a lot of money on getting.
They had Christie Brinkley, right? That was the big one with the.
Oh, they would spend a lot of money getting like a big pop star or model in their ads during the Super Bowl. You know, they had Michael Jackson for years, and I think they sponsored his Super Bowl halftime. Sure, a long time ago now.
Yeah, not a fan of Pepsi or their ads myself. That's okay.
Yeah, Pepsi's not my go-to for a soda.
Nah.
But we've crossed that bridge.
We've crossed that. That's old news.
That's old news. Yep.
Not fake news, just old news.
Old news.
Yeah, like Lester Banks, you know, just dick. Hey, so I went to the Pepsi 400 one year, and you would have no idea that Pepsi was even sponsoring it. Coke was just giving away product, like, all over Daytona.
Of course.
Just totally ruined it for Pepsi. Like, yeah, we got this one in the bag. No, you don't. Pepsi's out there with, like, 400 motorcycle with sidecars loaded with Coca-Cola, just throwing out to the people all like over the place.
Totally harassing them, huh?
That's the way I would have taken it, is a kick in the nuts. And they were, Pepsi wasn't doing anything like that.
They figured they had it wrapped up. They had the naming rights to the race.
Kicking in the nuts, a night in the ruts.
Wow. Quite the poet.
Yes.
Well, no, actually, that could be a...
Oh.
That's a good one.
Adam Smith's Night in the Ruts album is actually on the back side. It says right in the nuts.
Yep.
It's the same photo, but the words are different.
They change it.
They change the R and the
A. Well, you know, you got to change it up.
It's classic.
Yeah.
It's classic. You could tell those guys probably scribbled on a bathroom stall before.
Yeah. They're done with their blow. They use their razors to write their names. I blew here.
Hey, you had to use what you got.
Tom Hamilton jerked me off right here.
Whoa.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, you had to say allegedly.
Allegedly, we have a show.
Allegedly, this show's off the rails.
Allegedly. Right into the ditch.
Yes.
So.
Hang in there, folks.
It's usually the best when we're off the rails in the ditch.
That's right.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Right here on Warm Beer
and in the Cheap Seats.
Confounded bridge.
Email us. Tweet us. Text us. Do something with us.
And feel so, if you're on the app, you can always message on the message board. We'll be paying attention.
We'll be paying attention. Hey, other big news this week. Kind of sad news. We lost Dustin Diamond. Preach from Saved by the Bell.
He had a great name for wrestling, by the way.
What was his name for wrestling?
Dustin Diamond would have been a great name for wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Like Diamond Dallas.
Screech would have been decent, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, he would have to come out like an eagle's flying from the rafters.
I also got some really good advice this week. Did you know that?
What's that?
No one has prickles on their ass. Use a condom. Thank you, Barrett. Here's a drink.
You know, he probably, I heard an interview, like, he's like, I don't remember ever saying that.
Yeah, well, he was a blackout drinker, dude. He was a heavy drinker. I saw him in D.C. with Amy Schumer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But she was hot and funny.
I think he's, I don't think he drinks at all now.
No, but I think he's still bumping mics, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's still working.
Yeah, I didn't mean like bumping, you know.
No. I know what you mean. That was a pretty good. They did like that thing on Netflix for a short bit. I wish they did more of it. The whole bumping mics special was hysterical.
You know, he had the funniest short-lived show on Showtime. And people probably were offended, but it was like MST 2000, but with porn.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, people were offended for sure.
I wouldn't be offended by that. I think that'd be cool.
It was. It was funny. It just.
I missed watching Insomniac. That was pretty fun.
That was good.
And that had a pretty good little run. But, you know, the weird thing, Comedy Central is getting away from doing anything.
Anything that's funny.
Well, yeah. That's the other thing a lot of comedians are talking about. So there was a show I've been a big fan of that I listened to, and I could plug it because it's not even on the air. The Bonfire with Big J. Okerson and Dan Soder.
Which you introduced me to.
Yeah. So, ironically, they sent their producer like a gravity blanket, I guess they call it, but it's a weighted blanket. And it's supposed to relieve stress. And then like 2 days later, like, oh yeah, the show's canceled. And, you know, and then they were like, that was the greatest joke that Comedy Central ever played on us. Give us a blanket for anxiety because they fired us.
Fired you.
Fired. So Comedy Central Radio on XM has no live talent. They have no original programming.
What are they doing? Just paying?
I guess they're just playing old canned bits that were just like, you know, from Premium Blend and stand-up special they've taped over the years. And then if you look at Comedy Central as a whole, other than South Park and some other cartoon, Daniel Tosh is on there now, but he's done. Like, they're not bringing him back. They have no live original programming outside of like two animated shows. One.
So where are they going
Park.
With this? It sounds like they're down the tubes, down the old shita.
They've laid off over like 500 people. They've totally gutted Comedy Central. Hmm. Yeah.
So I would say maybe Comedy Central is short-lived. They're on life support right now.
Apparently, Viacom had bought them, and so everyone thought like, oh, that's cool. Viacom's a big company, and then Viacom's just absolutely gutted them since.
Yeah, but who owns Viacom?
No, I think Viacom's the parent company of all of them. No. Sweet Melissa's on the message board. Viacom owns CBS. That's that Stone, that 90-something-year-old guy that just died.
Maybe he just didn't like funny.
And then he appointed Les Moonves to run CBS in that division, which was like a big deal. And then, you know, if you ever listen to Howard Stern, you kind of know a little bit more insight on that. Well, Les is out of work anyways.
Yeah, and you know what? Daniel Tosh speaks his mind, so that doesn't work with their
Yeah, he's he's a Central Florida product. He went to UCF.
He's a free thinker. They don't want people like that.
He also calls Titusville his hometown, Hepatitisville, which is hysterical. if you ever driven through it, you're like, nailed it.
Hepatitisville.
The best thing to do on State Road 50 driving through Titusville is just not going. Stopping. Yeah, just keep going. Keep going to the next city.
Oh, hey, that's Space Coast.
You're either living next to a rocket engineer or a guy that's making meth in a bathtub.
Hey. Both are engineers.
Engineers in their own way.
You know what I just read? Right now, this is not a it's obviously been on the news already.
Wait, we got breaking news? We got breaking news.
For us, it is. Okay. Do any of you guys watch Yellowstone?
No.
I'm way behind on that.
Oh, Big Mike, after you're done listening to Zeppelin 3, your next assignment is to watch Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. Okay.
Yellowstone. I promise you'll be hooked after the first one.
Costner, Josh Holloway's in it. I'm a big fan of him from Lost. You know, didn't know what he'd been doing. He'd probably been living off that Lost money.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The guy that plays Rip, he's like the baddest character ever. It's even Tom, T-Bone, I should say, wants to name his next pet Rip.
Of course he would.
But if you haven't seen it, I think it's some of Costner's finest work. But there's a prequel now to this. And I guess it's going to be set in the 1880s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The prequel follows the Dutton family as they embark on a journey west through the Great Plains toward the last bastion of untamed America.
Wow. How about that?
Oh, it's like the Oregon Trail.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
you're trying.
Mom and Dad watched it. I don't always watch what Mom and Dad do because, well, you see what they watch. But
well, the Match Game never gets old, man.
Yeah.
Or Lawrence Welk.
Well, The Price is Right. Yeah, you got to sneak in a Judge Judy, call her a bitch a couple times because you can't get hold in contempt from your couch.
True.
And Dr. Phil, the quack, who has not yet – I've never seen him get any resolution on anything he's ever worked on.
No, but he learned that from his predecessor.
Who's his predecessor?
No, Oprah.
Oh,
Oprah.
Yeah.
Because Oprah kind of shot him into the limelight.
Correct.
But he's even worse than she is.
Yeah.
He kind of talks like the teacher on South Park, the gay one. He's okay.
Okay.
Mr. Garrison, whatever his name is.
You know, Joe Rogan always – I always thought Joe Rogan always did a good impersonation of Dr. Phil, where he's like, you see how the soles of my shoes are slick? It's because I'm not running away. I'm here to stay. And he just goes on. And
I know. That makes no sense. What does the slick soles of your shoes have to do with you staying?
See, this time means I mean
business. The spikes of my shoes and my cleats, it still would be nothing. I get better advice from Dave Attell, I'll tell you.
I would agree with that.
What Dave, what'd you say?
No one has freckles on their ass. Use a condom. Thank you, Barrett. It was great.
How long did that take you to, like,
I told you, it's a task. It is.
Do you think you need to shorten it? Or like, you know, it'd be good, like, if you just like, were able to isolate the, just like the,
I can. That's even,
Yeah, that's going to take a little longer.
I hate to dissect this one. I'll just do another one.
Well,
it's even hard to isolate the audience sound too. It's to clean it up. It's to get 7 seconds probably took me 20 minutes.
There you go, folks.
Everything I was supposed to do today, I did not do, except I got gas, I washed my car, and I got groceries. But that was all I got done today.
Like, how long do you think it takes when Howard Stern used to do those bits with the audio books and he just reclips things? And he would have like a William Shatner saying crazy stuff or
he would put it out of sequence. He'd take just like,
yeah. I mean, how many
just individual words and make it, that's awesome.
Yeah. But it would be like for like 10 second bit, like it'd probably take him like days of work.
Probably.
And it wouldn't always land.
Oh, it's even worse. You put all that work into it.
Oh, which was always great. Like, you know, they do a joke and then Howard's like, yeah, that didn't work. All right, we'll just move on.
That's day and a half out of my life gone. I'll never have back.
That's the beauty of live, you know. You don't know what works and doesn't.
I don't know. It's got to take them a while. They probably have a better equipment than what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. No, their equipment, I mean, that's part of, you know, they talk about that big contract he gets, but that's part of that contract is for him to buy and develop that state-of-the-art studio. They have to do whatever they got to do. Oh, that's going to be you're watching TV right now on Fox. This guy's about to take a shit.
It looks like
he's about to take a shit. He should get on the scale, take the shit, and then get back on the scale.
Because the metal mucil looked like a cotton candy.
Yes.
Absorbing.
If you're on Fox right now, you got to be watching Fox. We're watching SmackDown. So if you understand it.
And now we got like a green wiener.
Yeah.
On.
Jesus. Yeah. Cricket.
It didn't look like a cricket. It looked like a green penis sitting on the couch.
Yes.
Which,
he didn't take the parrot's advice.
No. Sure. All right, do you have it on too? No. Oh, yeah.
No, but I just heard him say something about a green parrot, green penis. I'm like, you need to listen to the parrot. Parrot will tell you.
No one has freckles on their ass. Use a condom.
Then he offers him a grape. Who knew that parrots like grapes?
Yeah.
He probably fucked up, couldn't think of cracker.
Yeah. He just kept just flowing through it. Like, they won't notice. He probably worked that joke over and over. He's like, everyone knows they like the crackers. It would be funnier if you said it eats a grape.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it is funny. I could listen to that tape all day. That skanks bit of memories. There's a lot of great little sound bites off that thing.
That is.
I love the opening scene of that. He's like half the audience goes, if you're not watching this live, people are leaving right now.
Yeah, immediately, like people are.
His
leaving.
First joke is so raunchy, like people just get up, start leaving.
Did he like call like half the women like whores like immediately off the bat? It was like, it was so crazy. Like he was just, oh no, he was talking about like something about the size of a man's penis and the women were like hearing, like cheering. He's like, there you had it. The whores have spoken.
Wow.
and then it was on from there. I mean, it was pretty early on. He just like, kind of went out with both barrels, and it is a pretty outrageous comedy.
But that's how a show is, though. It starts, it doesn't stop. It's just a relentless insult, and
yep.
You know, if you're not thick-skinned, or you know, it's comedy.
Yep.
Yes, it's meant to be funny. Don't take it so serious.
Fun happens late. I'm trying to see if there's
There it is.
Go ahead, guys. I'll mute this and I'll find it for you.
Okay. Well, what do you think about influences there, Mike?
My personal thoughts, I give two shits about influencers because they don't influence me.
Well, because I was thinking, I was like, well, you know, I would respect it more if they're like, you know, I just want to be pitchman. Like, they're like teenage versions of Billy Mays, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
You know, and imagine this. Billy Mays here, and I'm here to tell you this fan, this eyeliner is such a mood, you know, and, I could get that.
You could get that, yeah. But with the influencer.
I think they just want free stuff.
I think you'd be right.
Yeah. And, you know, what's wrong with being a pitchman?
I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, that's a classic job.
I mean, you have a guy that's going around on a boat in a lake, and he used it with putty. He took chicken coop.
Yeah, chicken wire, and like a screen.
Right. And he put his little putty on it, and he showed you. I mean, now that's a pitchman.
That's a pitchman. There's belief in his product.
Belief in his product.
He's not sinking.
Yes.
But notice his feet are not on the screen.
No. Because that guy, he's a big boy.
That son of a bitch would be sinking.
Yes.
Like Billy, whatever you do.
He's got that thing cranked. Like you got to go. You know, like you could take a snowmobile across the lake, just never slow down.
Billy Mays style.
Correct.
So are influencers like new pitch people, pitch men?
Well,
pitch
you just see like that's all like Instagram and YouTube, and you know it just takes up a lot of the newsfeed. But I guess it's like a fame thing, maybe. You know, being famous for being famous.
Maybe 15 minutes of fame.
I guess.
Now, here, help me understand. Aren't influencers, are they like famous people? Are famous people also considered influencers?
Yes. Yes. But there are unknown people that want to become influencers. So they'll
grasp on it.
Or what they'll do is they set up a profile. They'll pay for headshots. They do trick for photography to make people think that they're living in an exclusive lifestyle. They can rent stuff. You can set up a photo shoot to be on an airplane as if you're flying on an airplane privately. Then you can pay to add bots that are following. So it seems as if you have followers.
Wow.
And then the advertisers start coming.
So then Billy's butt paste was like, wow, I can't believe how many followers you have, so I want you to promote Billy's butt paste.
Correct. Or shoes or whatever, and, you know.
Show how to use Billy's butt paste.
But there's, I mean, if you look at Instagram, there's if you looked at how many people have 100,000 followers, you're like, that's impossible.
With just unknown jackasses.
Yes, that people have never heard of.
Right.
You have like, I think on Instagram, there was like someone had done a study. It was like 175 million people had 100,000 followers. That's impossible.
That's yeah.
You know, the social media landscape's very strange.
And this is why I'm not on social media. However, like, I'm thinking that
and every once in a while, they clean up these accounts and they kick them out, but then more get created.
Hey, guys, I'm back. I found a little something. It's about 20 seconds. You want to hear it?
Sure. He's back.
How many more people could leave than David tells people?
I like to play it backwards because then it looks like the girls have learned their lesson. Being a drunk tramp isn't for me. Miss, give it a chance. I just got up here. For you listening at home, there's people already leaving. I can't believe it. I didn't know you were in Girls Gone Wild. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Drink it up, people. Drink it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much how
he starts out the bit. Yeah, he started the bit with Girls Gone Wild. I like to play it backwards, so they finally learned their lesson.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That guy cracks me up. Any interview he's in, like, I have to listen to.
He's a little guy, too. He's not that big at all. I mean, I'm taller than he is.
So is it the unpredictability, Casey, that you want David Tell?
No. He's toned down. He's not like that now. I mean, I think when he aired that was like maybe 2001, 2002 when that particular album came out. He's kind of cleaned it up a little bit, but I mean, he's as funny. And he's like, he's a comic. And I think a Big Ed would know what I'm trying to say. Like, he's a comics comic. He probably made choices in his career where he probably hindered himself from going further.
Didn't he have a show? What was the show that he had on cable?
It was called Insomniac. And he would go to a town, and the premise was, what do you do late night in that city? And then he would just basically go around and carouse and drink and you know, and just see all the, like, the nightlife, and but not like the typical, like, we go to this nightclub, like where the locals hang out, different dive bars, or just weird, interesting things to do. Or
they go to like a water treatment plant at like 3 a.m.
He would do that too. I remember he, like, in Kansas City, he went into like a game, like a riverboat casino. That one was just out of control, hysterical.
I can only imagine.
It's like these really drunk women chain smoking, talking to him.
They're like, what's your premise for the next show? I don't know. I think I'm going to go to Portland this weekend. You know, that would be it. No, that's your pitch.
But, you know, that was a guy that lived on the road. He, you know, and he was a writer for SNL for a short while, but he just didn't fit in. You know, sketch writing wasn't like really a skill set for him. So he never really kind of fit in there. But they say you just like to smoke in the office a lot.
Well, somebody's got to.
Yep.
So that was his SNL.
Yeah, I think he did one or two seasons.
Okay, that's my question. Yeah, was it one season, two seasons?
I think he was two seasons. It was in the early 90s, like around 93, 94, where they had a larger cast. He might have had screen time, but he was hired strictly as a writer, which is very common. There's a lot of people, you know, it's not uncommon for them to have, like, say, about 20 writers on staff. You know, and then they have about, say, 8 to 12 on-air personalities,
right,
known as the not-for-prime-time players.
Players, yes.
Or not ready for prime-time players, which is what they were originally called.
So you have the writer corps.
Yes, and some people, and some people are hired as both, or they get promoted from that. You know, so, you know, and with SNL, you could get hired on, like, not a week to week, but like, okay, you're in a 6-episode contract, and, you know,
you get, it's piecework, a little bit of piecework.
It's piecework.
If you look up David Tell SNL, there's 8 sketches. It shows.
And he appears in the sketches?
No, I believe he just gets, because one of them's Nancy Kerrigan's monologue in 1994.
Oh, yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell. Getting,
like, writing credits.
Yeah. Let's see. Goodfellas. Andrew Ruins, Rudy Giuliani's.
You know, it's weird. Like, you could go through, like, a cast of people that were on
Kevin
SNL.
Nealon and, go ahead.
Well, you know, SNL, you can go through a list of people that weren't, like, stars in SNL, and then you look back at it on, like, their body of work, and you're like, why were they not bigger? And, you know, there's a lot of reasons. They didn't fit right. You know, they didn't have a good writing team, or maybe they didn't have the right performer to write for. You know, like, Julia Louis Dreyfus was on SNL in a weird time that SNL really struggled, because She was in like right before that Eddie Murphy, but the original cast was gone. You know,
she's had a great career.
Right, right. But she had a great
career. She was young though. She was like 18 if she was that old. She was really young.
She was really young.
Hmm.
Robert Downey Jr. was 18 on SNL.
Wow.
And that was not a good cast other than Billy Crystal and Martin Short were on it, but
yeah, who could hold the candle to those two? Jeez.
They were like in every sketch. They carried the show that year. They just kept it afloat. You know, and then the following year, I think, is like when Dana Carvey and Dennis Miller and came in.
That's the era that I really began watching SNL right there.
Correct. Yep.
And I think
that was like late 80s.
Yes.
Yeah, because Wayne's World was like 91 or something like that, maybe.
You know, that was a throwaway sketch. That was a last-minute put-in.
What's that, Wayne's World?
Wayne's World was a sketch that kept getting cut, and then the show was running too fast. And they usually have one or two sketches that sit on the bubble to fill in the last, like, 90 seconds, depending on how the show runs. And that's how Wayne's World first got airtime. It was a last-minute, like, all right, all right, Mike, Dana, do your thing. You're going to do Wayne's World. And they got the green light last minute, and the rest is history.
Yeah, next thing you know, two feature films too, right?
Yeah, they did two feature films.
Two feature films for a throwaway sketch.
Yeah.
How about that? How about that?
Oh, well, the first one was great.
Then you have a guy like Dana Carvey, who was so incredible on that show and really didn't have the same success off the show.
No.
Yeah.
No, because once he left SNL, he really – what did he do?
He had the Dana Carvey show.
Oh, I think that rings a bell.
And it was pretty short-lived. I think they did something making fun of the Clintons, like right off the bat. I forget. There's a story, but then you had like Louis C.K. was a writer. I think Stephen Colbert was on that show. Like they had a pretty strong cast. Like if you look at that show, you're like, that should have made it. Thanks. Without a doubt. It should have been a slam dunk. You know, Dana Carvey's doing a variety sketch comedy show.
You think, right. And did it get a season?
I think they did 6 episodes and they got canceled.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it didn't get picked up after basically a pilot season.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much. It's like, hey, it's like the summer, what do they call them? Like the summer fill-ins or whatever.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was.
Robert Smigel was on there too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Smigel is another guy, and that's a great writer.
Yeah, it's a pretty good So Smigel turned down to go back on SNL to work with Carvey.
Correct. Yeah, they're all ready to take off. I mean, Smigel ended up doing all right for himself. You know, you got the puppet dog. That's always a good
6 thing. Shows made it to air.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. Hey, that's 5 more episodes than Conan O'Brien's TV show.
Old Conan.
What was that? Now I forgot.
I vaguely remember.
I
want to
call it like Brockwell or Brockner.
It was, what was that one? It was Rockwell, right? Rockwell?
Something like that.
That should have been a hit.
That was a pretty, pretty funny one.
I should have made it.
Yeah, they don't always get it right. You know, people get a little too sensitive.
Well, this might be the skit you're talking about. It says President Bill Clinton, mother and father to the nation.
Yeah, I think that was the one, and something happened, and there was something about the timing, it wasn't right, and people got a little upset.
That was like the first episode.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty much the first episode. Like they did
themselves. Let's start playing with the. Hey, let's start playing with the nail gun.
Yeah.
And next thing you know,
well, comedy's not supposed to be safe, you know.
Yeah.
It would be comedy then,
right? It'd be, you know,
it'd be boring comedy.
Germans who say nice things. That's.
Yeah, exactly.
These are just names of some of the sketches. I'm just kind of, as we're talking.
Yeah, just be another. Chuck Lorre's got a new TV show. It's called Be Positive, and it's horrible. It's another horrible show. That I hope that ends up in a pile with whatever They Call Me Cat ends up.
Did that show finally get cut?
Not yet, but, you know, they might have already pre-ordered episodes.
Yeah, they're like, shit. We got the commitment, so let's run
it. What show is that, guys?
They Call Me Cat. I haven't seen it. Casey's watched it.
Yeah, you know what? I keep missing it. It comes on right before the Sheldon thing.
So old Mayim.
Oh, Look Well was the...
Look Well. Yeah. Yes, thank you, Melissa.
Yeah, Chuck Lorre can write a show about a turd, and CBS is going to greenlight it at this point.
Yeah.
Right. It's the
Mr. Mr. Turdy Pants.
It's called Young Sheldon's Turd.
Oof. They would probably greenlight that.
Yep. Yeah.
They did greenlight They Call Me Cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Not good.
That would fit in with today's environment for sure. She'd be in the in crowd.
Yeah.
Don't want to get canceled, you know.
Well, they can't cancel if you do it for free.
That's true. Kind of like us.
Yeah, we're safe.
No, we're not getting paid. Yeah. Everybody out there, I know it's hard to believe we're not getting paid to do this. We do this on our own time as a hobby.
Yep.
Yeah. See you next week, fellas.
Do 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 do.
So
on that
note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, everyone.
It takes a while.
Yeah, I know. Oh, there's our music. Oh. Finally queued up. Thank you, cricket.
Oh, the crickets are out in the woods. On the side of the road while we're hitchhiking.
We're hitchhiking out of here.
Hitchhiking out,
man. All right, any final words there, Big Ed?
Nah, good show. Thanks for letting me talk about Led Zeppelin. I could do it all day. Maybe I'll do it again next week. Who knows?
All right.
Hopefully there is a next week. Should be, because we do this for free.
That's right. We'll see you guys later.
Have a good week, and don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Yo ho ho, go Bucks and free Britney.
Why are you always trying to free Britney?
She deserves her freedom day to day.
I understand the go Bucks, you know, the Bucks
kick some ass in the Super Bowl and free Britney.
Is Britney gonna be there?
Oh baby, hit me one more time.
No, not me.